Hello and welcome to another episode of Oxcast from dailyinfo.co.uk. So today I'm Emma Pearson.
And I'm Alwyn Collinson.
And we're going to cover everything on in Oxford for the next week, from Shakespeare to superheroes. So let's kick off with saving the planet, not superhero-wise, but in a different way. Tomorrow night there will be a talk by Dr. Kumi Naidu. Is that how you pronounce
that? Yep, that's right.
Yeah. He's the CEO of Greenpeace, and Dr. Naidu is a former anti-apartheid activist and a really compelling and charismatic speaker, and he's taken the environmental organisation in a radical new direction, talking about social injustices of climate change, which sounds really interesting. His talk is called Green Rights Are Human Rights, and it's tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. in the Gulbenkian Lecture Theatre.
Yeah, that's right. I saw this guy speak last week, actually, and he was really genuinely fascinating. He had all these amazing stories about working with Greenpeace and working as an anti-apartheid activist. One he told, which I think just gives you a little bit of a flavour of how sort of informal and really interesting he is, he said that when he was an apartheid activist, world leaders wouldn't talk to him, so he would have to follow them into the toilets at conferences like Davos and stuff in order to talk to them.
Wow.
And once he followed Bill Clinton to a urinal and had a bit of a chat with him while they were both standing there, and then afterwards Bill Clinton went, "Okay, I'll do that," and offered to shake his hand. So apparently he is one of the few people who can say that he refused to shake Bill Clinton's pee hand. Anyway, cool. What about a movie release for this week then?
We're going to talk about Avengers Assemble.
Ah, another comic book extravaganza. Yeah, this one's from Marvel, obviously. Marvel Comics to challenge the DC Comics-powered Batman this summer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's not a lot we can say about comic book films. You know, if you like bulging muscles, improbable outfits and explosions and witty one-liners, they're probably for you. If not, I'm sure you know already. So, I thought instead I'd administer Emma a quick geek test to check out which of her, what's her superhero knowledge is like, and whether she should go along to the Avengers for a brush up. So, I'm going to name some superhero comic characters, and for each of the following, I want you to tell me, Emma, if they're a real comic book character or a ludicrous piece of nonsense that I just made up. All right?
Okay.
So number one, we have Aquaman. He's the king of the sea who dies if he can't keep wet, and he fights crime on dry land alongside Superman. True or false?
Okay, well, I mean, does he have a little spray gun or something that he can, like, keep himself moist with?
No, unfortunately, that never occurred to him. No, he actually has to just pop back to the water.
Right, well, then I'm going to say no, just because of the impracticality of staying damp.
Obviously, you have never read a Justice League comic book. Aquaman is indeed one of the leading lights of the Justice League. Yep. Okay, let's move on to the second one. The Whizzer. Mm-hmm. He gained super speed from a transfusion of mongoose blood. True or false? Well, obviously they're all false, but
I'll go for false again.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're incorrect. In 1940s, 50s, one of the original super speedsters, alongside other similar names like The Flash. Okay, moving on to the third one. The Rainbow Raider. He's a colourblind artist who uses beams of solid rainbow light to rob art galleries. True or false?
I'm going to have to say true at some point, so let's go for true.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
they're all going to be true, aren't they?
Maybe not. No, let's not jump to conclusions. Finally, the Ten-Eyed Man. Mm-hmm. His eyes damaged in an accident. He had his optic nerves reattached to, drum roll, his fingertips, so he can see out of his eyes.
That's very labyrinth, and, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. The guy with the but he uses these powers to fight for evil. So
he's an evil superhero.
Yeah.
Okay, the Ten-Eyed Man. I can see that being quite scary, so I'm going to go for true.
You see a man who can see out of his eye, out of his hands, as being scary.
Yeah.
How exactly would these superpowers come in useful if you were, let's take an example, robbing a bank?
It's still scary seeing someone having eyes in their hands. I said scary, not effective.
All right, then. Yes, you are correct. In fact, they were all true. There is no superhero comic character so ludicrous that it does not already exist.
Good. Excellent. So now what are we moving on to now? If you're not quite ready to face the 21st century.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you can head back to the 80s this week. There's a selection of tribute acts on at the New Theatre. Mm-hmm. Britt Floyd is on tonight, Super Trooper on Friday, and One Night of Queen on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And if you need me to tell you who the first two are imitating, you're probably not the target audience.
No,
sorry.
Not.
What about if you're about sick of the 80s?
Okay, you can go even further back in time. We've got some Shakespeare on in Oxford.
Cool.
His most controversial play is on this week in Keble at Rowley Theatre. So apparently its most controversial play is Taming of the Shrew,
right.
according to the stuff they're putting out here. And so that, of course, is the story of willful Caterina, Kate, who's who's forced to marry Petruchio, and is then tamed. And but this is different because it's going to be this play is going to be followed by another play, The Tamer Tamed, which is a response play written by John Fletcher, from a sort of less medieval point of view. So it's the first time that these two plays have been formed together, and the production apparently hopes to make you think, what does it mean to be a wife?
I see. Okay, so a bit of sort of back and forth controversy there.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Cool. All right.
That's at the Keble O'Reilly Theatre this week until Saturday.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, moving outside Oxford, but obviously continuing on the Tudor theme because I can't get enough of that.
No. In the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot this Saturday, you can see I, Elizabeth. So that's a one-woman play about Elizabeth I, and it's told entirely through her own words. Which I haven't been surprised about. Do we have enough words of Elizabeth I?
I guess so. She was a very educated woman. And after all, she did reign for a very long time.
Yeah.
Britain's longest reigning monarch, I think.
And so it's letters, speeches and writings, apparently. So we have all of that. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
So that's great. That's on Saturday night.
Fantastic. And I think we have time here to sneak, while we're talking about the past, we have time to sneak in a sneaky pick of the week.
Okay.
Sorry.
Very sneaky.
It's extremely sneaky. Favourite antiques in Oxford. So what I mean is that we live in a city literally stuffed with ancient buildings, ancient artefacts, ancient traditions. Sometimes it feels ancient people. So what's your favourite relic of the past that's kind of survived in Oxford?
The one that springs to mind is the dodo. Natural History Museum.
Okay, yeah, so a literal piece of the past.
Yeah, feels a bit weird, like, having a relic of the skeleton, although I guess, like, relics of bones and stuff on the saints. So, yeah, because it's the only dodo skeleton in the world, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think that's correct.
And it's in Oxford.
That's pretty awesome. If I was going to go for a pick myself, I would probably go for the robe makers on Cowley Road. I don't know if you've ever walked past.
Very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just such a crazy business model. How many people in this day and age wake up and go, you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to buy a robe.
Yes. You sort of think, when it has, like, Pope clothes and stuff in the window, and you think, you have a clientele of one, and that is
me. I think those might be bishops, but hey, you know, very expensive fancy dress. Anyway, what about our final item?
Great. The Globe Theatre London is on tour this week, and they're bringing Shakespeare right to our doorstep. And this week they're performing Henry V at the Oxford Playhouse. And we sent along our Daily Info reviewer, Susie Cogan, to tell us about it. And Susie is here now.
Hello, Emma.
What was it like? It's the Globe normally do it in really sort of traditional...
They do, absolutely, and this is not only quite traditional production, it's traditional in the sense that it's following the tradition of touring theatre. So when you go in, the setup is very much trying to evoke the idea of an old-fashioned inn yard, with, you know, knocked-up scaffolding and overgrown boys in soldier suits. It's good because it gives you a sense of the history of the piece in every sense, and it's also very easy to get into, very entertaining.
Great. That sounds really good, and it's got the big battle in it, right?
It does.
Is it very that kind of Shakespearean thing where people are running off and be like, oh yes, I came back and I killed someone and then run off again?
A little bit like that. They do it very well, actually. As you're basically pointing out, it's very difficult with something like that for it not to appear a little bit foolish when people are running on and off and there's not really a battle happening.
You don't really have the special effects available.
Precisely. What they did is they introduced a lot of things with some drumming, which always, you know, sets the atmosphere. And the main battle scene begins with a loud bang. So immediately your adrenaline levels go, ah!
Yeah.
So you're primed to receive what they're giving to you. And what they do after that is a little bit of running on and off stage, looking bloodstained and a bit upset, as it would. And also something a lot more stylized. So the first thing that happens after that is the Welsh archers come on, and all in a line, basically mime shooting their arrows over the audience. They have bows, but obviously not arrows.
That might be a bit scary.
Well, it would be if they had the
arrows.
So, you know, you think, am I suspending disbelief? And then you realise that you're watching something which is a little bit closer to dance representing battle.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's not
They did that once in a Globe production I saw. It was literally a dance. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much like with drums, and then everyone was just kind of going.
How did you find it? Did it work?
Yeah, it did. It was very stylized. Yeah.
Did this production work for you then?
Yeah, certainly. I thought it was great.
Cool. Okay. So, thumbs up, two thumbs up, one thumbs up?
Two thumbs up.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you then. You've been listening to Oxcast. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
I'm Emma Pearson.
I'm Susie Kogan.